Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. All right, well, welcome back, and it is now or never, and I have to emphasize that that debt clock, all the debt that you see on that, that's all fraud. Now, there's added to that clock is this thing called the unfunded liability. That's different than the debt. And as a matter of fact, when you look at the unfunded liability, a lot of that is fraudulent as well. When I say the medical system or Medicare, Medicaid, those types of things that the federal government is supporting, I hate to tell you this, but those things are not constitutional. They never had the permission to provide those things. These are just assumed things that they've provided. So to be clear, Milton Friedman identified a way to actually fix the Social Security problem without hurting anybody and still ending it so that it's no longer the albatross over our heads. So that all being said, what we want to do is we want to dive into some more of the augmentations of the ratification debates. But there's a few things that I still want to kind of cover because didn't get to cover all of it to give you a really good perspective. And I had been thinking since last Feedback Friday that there has been this long aching issue that it kind of bothers me. I'm annoyed. I'm irritated. It is just one of those things that you just can't get in a good position on. And so what I will say this is when we post, because last week on the 4th of July, we aired a special exigent show. An urgent show, a show that was going to give you a piece of content regarding what is so important about your state legislature. What do your state legislatures need to know? Which is why it was content still. We're going through the Kentucky resolutions. We're going to go through the Virginia resolutions. So this is with a candidate, Tammy Young, and she's going to be, we're covering this so that we hear and have the conversation of why this is so important. This is not just, some interesting history. This is Thomas Jefferson and James Madison providing guidance on what must be done when it comes to violations of the Constitution. And in this case, or in our case today, when you have so many, what has to be done? We need, and whether you like it or not, folks, our state legislatures need to go into full-time emergency session status because it is their problem and they must fix that federal government who is doing things they're destroying us. They are destroying us. Now, doesn't mean that all the people are bad, but there's enough bad people. We got to get rid of them. We've got to get rid of enough of those people to get to where we need to be, where the government is functioning on those things that they have the legitimate authority to do. See, I talk all the time with people regarding, the federal government doing this, the courts doing this, all of these perversions of the government. And I keep telling people that's not legitimate, just like that debt. They're doing this. They're driving us off the cliff. But what they're doing, they don't have the legitimate authority to do. And if we allow them, they're going to take us off that cliff and bring us with them. Right? If I'm going down, I'm taking you with me. And actually, they're pushing us down so that they can land on top. We're going to be their cushion, and we will be their footstool. So when I do have these exigent shows, I kind of want to make sure I take the time to really explain this, that when I have an exigent show and I have content that's really booked to get out between now and the end of the year. And so to me, it's far more important to give you the exigent show and air that because I only get 1 hour. I could easily start filling 2 hours or three. Well, I could probably fill up half the day, maybe. I don't know. I do know that I can go on and on. But the point is that we need to make sure that this content gets out so that you can listen to that. And there's other emergency content. There's these other conversations that we have to start having. I don't have anybody else doing this for me. We don't have any a companion broadcaster that is doing this specific stuff. Now, I'm hoping to do this. As a matter of fact, we're hoping to do this at a grand scale to where it's we kind of just cover the content here, and we allow you to actually create that dialogue. But that's down the road. And that's when we start resurging or restoring our local radio programming and our local, and we back basically revitalize local radio. Local radio is on its way to becoming extinct because we have not created the demand for local relevance. This is why most everybody listens to these national show dolts. Now, I believe that the people in Ohio, Iowa, in Wyoming, it doesn't matter what state you live in and what region of that state you live in. You have real local issues, and you have people that are representing you. And I'm telling you right now, they're not representing you. And I believe that right there is news. And I believe that if we have to be the ones educating, then so be it. We will educate. And we're going to put a spotlight on what these people are doing. We need to realize that the problem really started in our backyard when we actually started focusing at the national arena. When we started focusing at the national arena, and believe it or not, folks, that really was back well before the turn of the century. And I don't mean 2000, I mean going into 1900s. There were too many people that really thought that the federal government could do anything and everything. And there was more and more coming from the federal government. By the time Wilson got involved, it was just like everybody started really ignoring your local government. What's the problem there? You know, what are they doing? They're not the big, mighty, grand poobah that the federal government is. So anyway, back to the whole point of these shows. We're going to actually have two shows posted for that given day. So if you go back to July 4th, you'll see the interview, and then you'll see the podcast, or I should say the content. And if it's not that clear, I'll take a look at it. Because I did get it posted, but if it's not that clear, then I will fix that so that it is clear as mud, or maybe clear as water. Yeah, that's what we meant. Anyway, last week, again, we aired the first Exigent show, and that was Tammy Young. And Tammy Young is going to be back on, hopefully this week. We will be recording this week. And so as soon as I get it recorded and I have it ready to broadcast, we will actually broadcast that interview. Now, just so you know, I do edit because the dynamic peaks become problematic because I know nobody wants to hear an interview where you only hear me and you could barely hear who's being interviewed. So I try to fix the volume, the dynamic peaks, so that everything is as balanced as possible. Because bottom line, it's nice to be able to have a person constantly watching the volume, but when you're doing this all by yourself and somebody actually starts falling away from the microphone and they get a little more distant, and like this, they get a little softer. Well, and then when they get back and they get way too close, the microphone, the volume really starts going up. So you can't control those types of things. People are moving around. They're moving with their, talking with their hands and boom. Anyway, the point is that I don't edit any content out. I do not edit any relevant content. I mean, I may actually cut out a something like that, but that's about it. Anyway, what we're going to be doing is we're scheduled to have Leah Cushman, Representative Leah Cushman from New Hampshire State Legislature. And we want to be talking with her about what the heck's going on in the state legislature. And more importantly, we really want to talk to her about the controls of the parties over the state legislature, as well as how the government at the local level, the county government, is functioning and so forth. And so when we dive into this, one of the things I think most people do not appreciate or understand, and actually I need to pull this up. I don't think people understand that when you're looking at New Hampshire, when you're looking, I believe it's New Hampshire, I don't think I'm wrong on this, but we shall see. When we look at New Hampshire and we go through the state legislative control for 2020, I've got a spreadsheet. I do this every 2 years. I don't have 2022, unfortunately. I should. I need to go back there and get that. But when we look at New Hampshire, do you know how many people are in the New Hampshire state legislature? Well, if you didn't know, I believe if you add it all up, there is a total of, let me see here, total representation is about 650. In other words, they have 400 representatives in the state house. They have about 248 in the state senate. And so it's kind of hard to tell, though. Actually, no, my mistake. Let me see here. Am I right or am I wrong? No, total in the Senate. I'm sorry, it's about 224. The percentage, 248, that was a percentile, not a number. So, okay, so they have 450. But when you look, I think New Hampshire is somewhere around 1.3 million. So when you look at how many people out of the 400 are being represented, that you have one representative for less than 4,000, probably about 3,500 people, not voters, people. And so that is what you would call well represented. Now go contrast that to California. What does California have? Is their ratio somewhere around 120,000, 140,000? So in other words, they're almost 50 times more. Not 100, but almost 50 times more. In other words, how can you get representation? How can you get decent representation for the local issues where your government means the most? Now, the other thing is, so I actually want to have this conversation with her to talk about, you know, what and how do they function and how can they afford to function when you realize that this is actually an honor position. There's hardly any pay. It's almost like doing jury duty. You get compensated for your travel and you get a minor compensation for your day of time. Very minor. In other words, it is not where you make a lot of money. And so at the state legislature, maybe that's what you need to have. But I honestly believe that what's really important is having that kind of representation at the county. I believe that if you want to have that kind of government, then we need to actually change it to where we don't have lots of those governing. We just have citizen committees. And the committees basically kind of help guide our legislative processes, whether that is healthcare, infrastructure, those types of committees, commerce, businesses, and so forth. Because if we have a representative government, then because it's really important to kind of try to keep the two checks and balances in legislation as well, equally important, right? In other words, we want to make sure that we have an apportionment for the population. In other words, greater representation in the counties that have more people, but equal representation regarding the Senate for each county. Now, this one person, one vote, this complete manipulation of our governing system, our body politic by the Supreme Court in the 1960s, called Baker v. Carr and Reynolds v. Sims. Those two cases were used to basically change our form of government from representative to democracy. And so these are all important conversations that we want to make sure that we bring to the table so that you can hear how important it is to have proper representation, not a proper ability to vote for the laws you want. That's not what we're supposed to have. Now, let me back up. You're supposed to have a constitution that delegates very specific power to your government, county, state, and federal. And in that constitution, those are the few things that they have the authority to do. If you've never amended the constitution to allow them to do health care, then they have no business doing it. If you never amended the constitution to allow them to support infrastructure like highways, waterways, internet, communications, telecom, power, those types of things, then they shouldn't be doing it. Now, what has happened is the federal government is the one that has basically delivered these things so that monopolies could be maintained and protected, and how they could actually create this network and system, instead of creating a free market, or at least a sovereign autonomous state market where the state would have the power to do that. But we, the people, have to delegate that power first. We grant that power, then they can do it. So what do we do with the existing systems? Well, we got to pull the federal government completely out of the mix, and then we got to figure out how to manage this. If we're going to manage this across states, then what do we need to do? Now, if you want to have these conversations of what and how to do that, this is all interesting. But at the end of the day, what is important is getting government out of meddling with things they don't have the authority to do, because they're spending us into oblivion. So the first thing, and the first government we actually have to, you know, cut off completely, is the federal government, as far as they're meddling in things they have no business doing. So when we kind of go through this process, it kind of makes me think, this is the thing that's been gnawing on me. You know, that I said I was annoyed, unsettled, just not being able to get into the right position, because I get this from people all the time, and I'll explain. Because there's a lot of different things that I get from different people, because their focus is on these types of issues where I don't think it's as important. I don't think it's as important as getting the ship right, getting government into compliance. That's what we're about. Reclaiming the Republic is about getting government into full compliance to the constitutions. When I say constitutions, that means county, state, federal. Getting them to function within those powers delegated. Now, it might have been divine providence that we waited until now to actually create these county constitutions. We can talk about that at another time. I just want to kind of go through these things that annoy me, or that, you know, I really hate having to spend a long period of time and repeated times over and over about these topics. Now, one of those topics is for, you know, those people who want to actually restore their liberties and their individual sovereignty and just, you know, get right. I mean, that's really important to you. It's not necessarily important to me, because I believe that if we don't get this nation right, it doesn't matter what happens to you. You're just a little dust molecule on this huge glob called a nation. And if this nation falls, the states, counties, and we the people fall with it. And if they actually, you know, I mean, we might be able to rise up a little bit until they swat us down. Folks, muskets aren't muskets anymore. The difference between your firepower and the global firepower is getting unbelievably, you know, imbalanced. Look at these dew weapons where they don't even have to come ashore, where they can burn the crap out of the entire area where you're living. I mean, gone. It's just smoke and cinders. You going to fight that? I am here to tell you that if you think we have, you know, we actually have a chance in winning with deadly force, you're sadly mistaken. You're sadly mistaken. This is why it is paramount to understand our political system and what we have to do to force government compliance, because we can't get this and we can't get there until we have at least enough people understanding to actually demand for compliance. This has to be a movement. These articles that I'm writing will help you understand this. But I believe that those who want to go out and go and file for your sovereignty, you know, file for your land and all these different things that you can secure for yourself, what does it matter? It may matter right now when you can play the game and actually have, you know, this autonomy, this perceived autonomy. But when the final shoe drops and it squishes you along with everybody else, then what did you gain from that? Oh, well, I wasn't paying my taxes. I mean, these are personal gains, but they don't fix the problem. I want to emphasize that. You may fix your problem. This is the same thing as talking about homeschooling. Taking your kids out of school may actually fix your problem right there with the curriculum they're trying to pour down your kids' throats. But that doesn't mean that our nation is being pulled from the depths of hell in the education system that is basically, you know, like a blast furnace that's just throwing out scorching, fire and brimstone from that burning lake. I mean, it is just absolutely evil, the education system and what it's doing. Well, that's only one problem. If we actually, this is why Republic Review, this is why this comprehensive process of getting the federal government into complete compliance, not marginal compliance here, there, and there, complete compliance across the board. You don't have the authority to do any of these things. This is what you have to do. This is all you can do. Once we get back to that baseline of the delegated authority, then you'll all of a sudden the spending goes away. All of a sudden their need for taxation will change and we'll be able to make the modifications like undoing the 16th Amendment easily. And restoring most of the states as well. But getting all of these things right is a job. It's a big job. It's got to get done. And I am here to tell you, until this job gets done, it doesn't matter if you're an individual sovereign and you actually own your own land. Because, as I said, when the big shoe drops, you're going to be squished just like everybody else. You'll be just as insignificant and you'll be equally ripe to be killed just like everybody else. Because you do realize that whenever they make these types of transitions, history has always proven that a lot of people have to go away because they're just not compatible with this new form of government. And oh, by the way, they've got these really great tools, viruses. I mean, who has not heard about the viruses attacking our food system like chocolate, you know, and our birds and those types of things? You know, when did we have plant viruses, you know, actually naturally occurring until we actually started playing with these things? Folks, we'll be right back after this promo. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so if the sovereign citizen, let me get back to the chocolate. We already know that there's going to be a skyrocket in the cost of chocolate. Not on top of, this, you know, outrageously inflated currency where everything's already going up in price. Now, certain parts of your food supply, because of supply, demand, because they're able to mess around with the crops with this at a global level, and they're actually creating all sorts of problems with our food supply. Come on, folks. We know what's going on in those that crap that they're spraying up there. They're saying, oh, well, that's cloud seeding. Yeah. And I'm sure it is all filled with nutrients for us to have healthy lives. Not. They do not care. I'm telling you, they're already telling you that we have a population problem. Because of you and I, this earth is heating up and we're all just going to go extinct unless a bunch of us die. That's what's happening. And, you know, interestingly enough, this little book that most people have been told, you know, not, you can't read it. It can't be in school. Talk about banning books, right? I mean, you want to talk about banning books? Where is the Bible? Where is the Bible in our education system? It used to be center stage and it has been banned. Oh, but we want to actually ban books that are absolutely inappropriate for the young minds and the young children. I mean, they actually violate decency laws in every state. So as I look at, you know, that, because there's a few of these issues, and the sovereign citizen is just one of those. For those of you who want to restore the soul of America and return to righteousness, how are you expecting to do that when government has its heels on the necks of our religion and when it is driving and pouring down our throat godlessness? How do you expect to do that unless we actually get government into full compliance of the Constitution, where they make no laws and we undo laws, where they teach us that thou shalt learn evolution and become godless? You've got to realize, folks, that they're driving godlessness through laws, and we've become a godless, unrighteous nation because of what they're doing. It is a religious, it's a cultural warfare that they've unleashed upon us. And so anybody that thinks, well, we've got to, you know, yeah, we do have to pray. But I am telling you, if we do not interpose on these governments and get them into compliance, the beautiful thing, folks, is the divine hand of providence knew what we would need to do this. I just need you to wake up to say, we got to be all in. We've all got to be in on this. Remember, when they find me cut up in the freezer, don't believe the suicide note. Because, you know, right now, the only thing it takes to kind of end this discussion is for somebody to just go away. because problem solved, right? That's how they do it all the time. They just go away. And now we don't hear from them, and people go, well, shoot, you know, maybe we should have listened to that guy. Maybe we should have wrote something down. Yeah, maybe that would have been good, yeah. Anyway, for those who want to restore the wealth back to where it belongs, you can't do that with the existing system we have. We have to restore our courts. We have to actually restore our government back into the manner that it was established to function. Then we can do those things. Then we can actually start pouring out, you know, and having a revival, or I should say a third awakening in America. It can start with prayer. Now, yes, we have to start that, but it doesn't really start until we exert and demand compliance to the law. We have to get our government into full compliance to the supreme law of the land, of the federal, state, and county constitutions. So, those who are seeking justice, just to get justice, to be able to get true justice when they try to take your property and you don't get just compensation. Folks, they haven't given you just compensation for years and years. What does just compensation mean? Does it mean that when they take your property so that they can put a public, you know, facility on there or grow their public facility over onto, you know, like a school, a library, a city council, a county government? When they seize your property for public use, what is just compensation? It's not what they tell you the market value is. And as a matter of fact, let's wake up and look at the Seventh Amendment, because the Seventh Amendment tells us that in all common law cases, this is a common law case, when government has to take your property, then you are due just compensation. And so how do you obtain justice? And what was the center of justice, the one sacred, hallowed part of our justice system? It was the jury. The jury, not just the jury, but a jury of our peers. Now, when they say peers, it doesn't mean people just from your town. Back in the days when they actually talked about peers, they wanted to make sure that if this was a literate case, I'll give you an example today. If you have a crime dealing with engineering and, you know, you're perceived as creating this terrible thing in your engineering career or what have you, or a doctor or what have you, then you should be judged by a jury of your peers, not people that, you know, living in completely different worlds, even though they live in the same local community. They have to have the same understanding so that they can understand. Now, there's a lot of people that just have complete, you know, I'll just say blind faith that everybody will get it right. I am here to tell you that the way they have done the court systems and the juries, we've actually seen jury nullification wrongly applied, I should say. I mean, there's points when we actually should see jury nullification, but come on. There have been plenty of cases that have gone right down and the judgment had fallen by the jury, fallen down the racial lines, the cultural lines, whatever. That is not justice. That is not justice because it's not a jury of your peers, meaning that they have to have the same skin color. A jury of your peers in this particular case. Now, when it comes to a real crime, a heinous crime, then I don't think that the peers, the necessity of that peership is, you know, as important as far as them having the same degrees and that type of stuff. But you do not have a fair trial if you have done something that they say, we want to judge this as a crime. And people need to have a level of understanding. And sometimes in courts, they have to go out of their way to educate the jury just to make sure that justice can be served. But the whole point is that we're to have a jury of our peers. Now, we're looking at your house being confiscated. And we're actually looking at this, what is the proper compensation? Okay, so currently, do they pay you for your packing up? The time that it's going to take for you to do that or hire somebody to come pack you up and move your household goods, all that you can take with you. What if there's something so special about the structure that you say, we can't part with this? It would cost more money to try to redo all of the generations of work. Who knows? You could have had a family of artisans that have just done so much beautiful artwork to your particular home that it's absolutely a masterpiece, generational masterpiece. How can you actually justly compensate for that? You can't. Other than picking up and moving that structure to where it needs to go. Where is it going to go? It needs to be a just location. In other words, it needs to be an equal. If you're on top of a mountain and they want to put a tower up there, then they need to put you on another mountain with the same kind of amenities, roads, and so forth. Government has to bend over backwards to make sure that you, actually I shouldn't say government has to, the jury will ensure that government meets your just needs. In other words, they will make sure justice is given you in the losses so that you don't have to suffer. You shouldn't have to suffer because it's for the greater good. They have to give you just compensation, and the justice only comes by a jury of your peers. Now, I will warn you that if you're a Scrooge or you're some, you know, bad neighbor, don't think you're going to get good justice if everybody hates you. Well, you get what you deserve. But if you're a, you know, a golden rule type of person and do unto others and that type of thing, and you live your life that way, then, okay, you can get justice that way. But the whole point of seeking justice today, the only way we're going to restore our justice system is by getting the government back into compliance and giving us our jury trials. Because bottom line, the Constitution says any issue, as a matter of fact, I should probably just pull it up because it's just easier to read it, because the language is a little important, right? And so let me see if I can pull up the language to the color-coded Constitution. And so I'm going to have to go to this directory, pull up the color-coded Constitution, and then I'm going to go to the Seventh Amendment. And the Seventh Amendment says, in suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20. Folks, is $20 greater than your average ticket today? Yeah, it is. Then they either make those tickets for less than $20. The reason that it's fixed as a $20 is because the federal government, the Constitution requires that they maintain that value of that currency, not to allow it to get inflated, to ensure that the value of the currency and that standard of that value is kept. And they're not doing it. They're actually destroying. This is how they're stealing your wealth, as many people know. So bottom line, when we look at all these common law suits, whether they be traffic court, whether they be a divorce, every divorce should actually be viewed, because I don't know of anybody that gets divorced where the controversy is less than $20. And yet they employ all of these judges to actually dictate to you how things, and they make the decisions, and empowering them. when, again, they're just basically administrators to make sure that the processes are being done. And, oh, by the way, they don't have the ability to instruct you of how what you have to do. They want to make sure you're given everything you need to go and make the decision. But there's many times where judges give you instructions where that is not a true trial by jury. That may be a jury trial or a jury trial, but that's not a trial by jury, because the jury has to have the autonomy of making what they believe is correct based on all of the law and facts presented to them. That's the beautiful thing about our system, folks, and we're not being taught this. And we have to restore justice, and the only way to do that is to demand full compliance to the Constitution. For those who want to restore law and order and just make sure the flash mobs don't come in and decimate your store, like just recently happening. I mean, it happens way too often. As a matter of fact, it's happening so often in many states because the states aren't even prosecuting, you know, shoplifting for $1,000 or less. So what does it take? You got to get about 40, 50 thugs into your store. That's what they're doing. And then as a flash mob, they grab $1,000 each and walk out. And you have 50 people. That's $50,000 in losses. Or maybe even more. Because who's really counting, right? I mean, there's been cases where the store has complained that was well over $1,000. And do you have a receipt? We have to restore law and order. We have to restore. We have so many prosecutors. I live in a really conservative county. And our last prosecutor did nothing to actually hold people to the law. He did everything he could. He blamed the laws themselves and society. Absolute progressive. And he's, anyway, glad he's gone. To restore law and order, we have to get our government into compliance to the Constitution. And bottom line, and my last point, because these are the things that annoy me, because I'm dealing with this all the time. You know, people are coming and saying, "Yo, look, they're doing these things to us. The chemtrails, they're waging economic warfare, all these different forms of warfare. They can become an annoying issue on their own face. In other words, the subsidies, the welfare, you know, the chemtrails, the CO2 pipeline, folks." If you want to actually get rid of the warfare against we the people and our states, we can't get there until we get the federal government, the state government, and our county governments into compliance with the Constitution. Your problems, 100% of your problems, will go away when we start obtaining full compliance to the Constitutions. Many things in your state constitution are absolute violations because they were driven by the federal government. And so we can go through all of this, but, you know, let's start focusing on what we need and how to do this. This is all being done. The catalyst for this is being done in your local community, your county, by using petitions, getting people to sign First Amendment petitions in demanding compliance. We want to get to a point where you've petitioned so many times to where they just say, "Hold on here. You're just killing us because you're coming in. What is it that you really need us to do?" And you should be able to hand them the table of tyranny. This is like Martin Luther's 95 theses, a comprehensive, compendious summation of all of the grievances, so that they can see and they go, "Oh my gosh, what are we going to do here?" We have to start replacing every public servant with people who will become champions and support the entire Constitution and demand full compliance, and they will actually work and endeavor by having constitutional compliance committees going through and definitizing and auditing and those things that actually get us into compliance. It's just like a contract. When you actually have a contract with a landscaper, a developer, or anything like that, they have a requirement to do those things that you have set forth in the contract to do, and that's it. And we can get them back into doing those things that they're supposed to do and get them to stop doing those things that they have no business doing. The court has no business making law. The president or the executives, they have no business making law. Come on. The table of tyranny is much greater. The amount of violations, folks, is much greater than the 95 theses by far. They're assuming powers, those each assumed power that is not within the authority of the Constitution. Each of them are violations on their own face, which means, you know, you can go by the federal government's chart of 500 and some odd departments that are unconstitutional, or you can go by Wikipedia, and they're somewhere around 1,500. 1,500 different agencies, and almost all of them are unconstitutional. Offices, branches, departments, it doesn't matter. And I guess in the grand scheme of things, if you just knock off the entire department, like the Department of Education, there's a lot of offices and agencies underneath that that would just go away. That's what it takes to fix the problem. Now, In a way, you can actually start realizing what happens when all of a sudden all of these people start losing their jobs. There's going to be a lot of hate and discontent, but that's nothing. That's nothing compared to those rich people who have such control over deadly force, nations, and all manner of evil things. When they start realizing that they're going to lose their control, they're going to be no holds barred in trying to thwart what you're doing. Let's be honest. It is time to start realizing what is on the line here, because it's all about them playing to win. If you plan on getting them to lose, you better start planning. Because those who plan to fail are failing to plan, or vice versa, right? So as we've kind of gone through this, and I guess I realize that I'm not going to get into the augmentation of the ratification debates for Massachusetts. I was hoping to do that. I just wanted to go through this because I always get pulled into these same things that constantly circle me around. And let's just focus on what does it take? What do I need to know to get our local government, state government, federal government? Let's really understand, let's sink our teeth into this idea of petitioning, this idea of auditing, and this idea of enforcing full compliance. Actually, using the Constitution as our weapon. I'm telling you, folks, we have everything we need in that Constitution. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was the final tooth that we needed to actually take a bite out of what they're doing to us and end it. All we've got to do is exert our authority as we the people, because remember, we are the fountain of political power. It comes from us. We're the ones at the local level granting and delegating and establishing, instituting, right? We just read the Declaration of Independence last week. We, the people, institute our government, and the only government we truly institute is that county government. From that point on, it is we, the people, being selected as a delegate to represent the people in our counties to go create the state, and the people in the states to represent that, you know, the federal constitution, to create that federal government, the federal constitution. when you start seeing things, and I guess in this simple form of contract law, it starts making sense. Then again, it helps everybody start putting their arms around this problem and saying, huh, it is about the compact. It is about this Constitution that was created where the states were the parties to it. In other words, it's their compact. This is why going through what we're going through with the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, and then Madison's further tutelage, and also going through the ratification debates to where we can actually go through how the Constitution was defined. I can tell you this, that as we start recognizing the importance of our counties, and it all starting in our counties, start thinking in the back of your head, what are we going to do in creating a county constitution? Do you really need to have, government involvement in health care? Do you really need to have government involvement? Let me just say this, that I know that we won't need health care after the second coming. Why? Because he heals the sick. The sick will no longer need healing, or vice versa. We will be able to heal each other because that's what He'll institute. Do you think we'll need the psychiatrist and mental health? He will be able to cast out those people with those types of problems. Folks, we have to start looking at what we really should have done, because bottom line, we're only empowering, we're allowing government to create big pharma. We're allowing government to create big healthcare systems, great bureaucracies, because with great bureaucracies comes great control. And we're being manipulated and managed in that mechanism of bureaucratic control. So the only way out of this is to demand full compliance of the Constitution. If you want to demand your sovereignty, if you want to demand the restoration of American righteousness, if you want to get the wealth back, you can't get there without republic review. You can't get there without getting your counties and your states aligned in demanding full compliance of the Constitution. This is what has to happen. We have to do this first before you can even start talking about restoring wealth, before you can even start talking about restoring righteousness. I mean, on an individual basis, you can do what you can. But I am telling you, you will never get justice. You will never get your sovereignty that really matters until we get government out of the business of controlling us to the magnitude and getting rid of the tyranny to the magnitude that they're levying against us. Folks, it's in my prayer. It is my deepest desire to help get what we need moving so that we can get full compliance to the Constitution. The Constitution is our weapon. We have to use it as a weapon. It's a shield too, but more importantly, we've never used it as our weapon, and that's what we have to start doing. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.